You're listening to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian, written and read by J.R. Murdock. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdock.com. Why had that barbarian spoken to him? Answering questions wasn't what needed to be done right now. Killing, that's what needed to be done right now. If Iman had his way, it'd be Billy that'd do the dying. But all in good time, he could do away with Billy. It was this barbarian's fault he had to throw away Jack, a perfectly good man. Iman steeled himself. He had to control his anger. If he couldn't control his own anger, he'd have a difficult time controlling Billy. And now was not that time to be able to control him. Billy stood alone on the stage now, primed and ready. Slightly damaged, but ready nonetheless. Iman sat up straight and placed his face into the box. He allowed his consciousness to flow into Billy. He tried anyway. Something blocked him. In the ether, he could sense Billy fighting the intrusion. Fighting? How could he possibly fight against it? Fat and Jack had never fought, and as far as he knew, they never knew he was there. How was it that Billy was able to prevent his entering? Iman pushed harder into Billy's consciousness. The sensation of being squeezed through a small pipe, then forced back out, overtook him. He pushed harder and harder to get in. Billy couldn't keep him out forever. Iman smashed again and again, trying to find any crack that went unprotected from the barrage. He had to get in. He had to. Celine's concert would be winding down any minute, and he had to be inside Billy and prepared. Nothing would stop him. Nothing. A fissure opened in Billy's defense. Iman took full advantage of it and sped through before Billy could block him again. He took up residence deep in the back of Billy's mind and remained quiet for several long, tense moments. If Billy had been able to keep him out, could he possibly know that his mind had been invaded? Could he suspect that anyone else was inside his mind? Iman couldn't risk exposing himself until the time was right. He had to lie as low as he could and hope that the pain in Billy's wounds would distract him. Iman's presence weakened slightly, and everything started to fade. No, his body needed rest, but he couldn't do that. Not now. He had to stay up and attack. He had to do it now. The strain of controlling Jack and now entering Billy had taken its toll on him, but he wasn't going to let that stop him. Not now. Not when he was so close. It was time for Celine to die. Iman didn't bother to listen through Billy's ears or look through his eyes to see at what point the concert was. Instead, he started to push forward. At worst, Billy would still be trying to protect his mind, but the barbarian couldn't withstand forever. He was stupid and weak, far weaker than the might of Iman's will. Iman would prevail. He had to. Something pushed back. Not a gentle push like a breath of wind, but a hard, violent push of a street thug. A push meant to say, get out and stay out. This only served to enrage Iman. He wouldn't be denied. Not with his moment of glory so close, not against a muscle-bound moron who did nothing but ask questions and eat. Iman felt himself pushed back again, this time nearly forcing him out of Billy's mind. It wasn't possible. It just wasn't possible. This barbarian shouldn't have this kind of mental agility and strength. He was a buffoon. Iman pushed his will into Billy's mind. It was like walking through a hurricane. Constant force pressured him backwards, but he pushed on. He had to. Only a little more, and he could take over Billy's mind. He pushed and beat, beat and pushed. He held back for an instant and pushed again. It weakened slightly. He knew it weakened. He could prevail. He just had to keep at it. He had to have Billy's mind and body. It was critical to his plan. If he was weak afterwards, that didn't matter. This was personal now. He'd have more power to use later, but right now this was a battle of wills, and he wouldn't be outdone by Billy. Not in this life. Billy's vision came into view. Iman knew he was getting closer. He'd never had to struggle so much to take over someone, but when he did, he'd make sure Billy could see and would know everything his body did without his control. He'd make Billy suffer. So close. He had made it so close. If he'd been doing this physically, he'd be sweating by now. Billy's vision flashed from the ground to the audience to the sky to Celine. He was fighting physically. It made Iman more determined to press forward, knowing that Billy suffered so intensely from the takeover. Iman's strength increased exponentially with each increment he moved forward, and Billy's mind was forced further and further back. Iman felt a tug on him, but the tug was weak and helpless. He merely shrugged it off. He had Billy now. No more pushing. He'd made it to the front of Billy's mind. He had every intention of using his body to complete the task he'd been hired for. Suddenly, Iman was glad Jack had died. Jack's job had been to find an idiot, a weak-minded fool with strength. Instead, he'd gotten Billy and nearly put the entire plan in jeopardy of failure. Iman wished he could have stayed and watched Jack plunge to the ground. He only felt the slightest brush of air on his face, and that would have to suffice. Now he had Billy's mind. Visions and sounds rushed in. Iman stood up with Billy's body and took a deep breath. He wanted to shout in victory, but to do so would proclaim his intent. He gritted his teeth and focused on his target, Celine. Nothing else mattered at this point. Nothing. The time had come. End of the concert be damned. With his mind inside of Billy's body and so close to the stage, he could feel the power surging beneath him. Power he would use once he had everyone's attention. Only one thing to take care of first. He scanned rapidly about the stage and audience. No one focused on him. That was good. He took a slight step forward, and pain lanced up his leg and into his head. Iman nearly lost control of Billy, but with a harsh push, he sent Billy backwards. The pain in his leg and shoulder made Iman shiver and wince. It didn't matter. Only a brief moment of pain for eternity of glory. He could do this. He could tolerate the pain and maintain control of Billy long enough to kill Celine. He had to. He must. He was more than a man, and tonight he would prove that to all the citizens of Sethopolis. Everyone in this stadium would soon announce his superiority. Everyone! At first, Billy thought an ox had plowed into him. He'd nearly fallen over. But he managed to push back, and it wasn't until he felt another hit that he realized nothing had hit him physically. Something tried to get into his mind. All his fighting had done no good. He knew that Iman had taken over. He pushed and pulled and fought, but in the end, he could only sit back and watch. He watched through his own eyes, but everything looked so far away. Iman had taken over his mind and body. This was why Iman had wanted him. Perhaps he thought the takeover would have been easy, but Billy had put up the fight of his life. Never had he worked so hard to win, and lost. When it really mattered, and another person's life sat in his hands to protect, and he failed. Twice he'd protected Celine, and this third time he would fail. He knew Iman's intentions now. He could feel them all around. Nothing but death for Celine Dijon. What a pathetic existence Iman must live to want so desperately to kill something so beautiful, to go out of his way, off the path, to stomp on a flower. That's what Iman was doing, and it made no sense. Why use his body to kill her? Why not do it himself? He was a coward. That's what he was, a coward. He didn't want to risk getting caught. But why shouldn't Billy tell the police what had happened? Surely they'd believe him. He'd saved her life twice. He had to stop thinking about what would happen after and start thinking of a way to stop it now. He couldn't let her die. He just couldn't let her die by his hand, if he had control or not. He surged forward, but Iman, now in control, easily pushed him back. He saw briefly his eyes look to Celine. Iman was getting closer to her, but he did so slowly and sneakily. He didn't have any weapons in his hands and must look like he just wanted a closer look. Billy had thought enough when Iman had attacked to put the silver rod away. But would he know how to use it, even when and if he found it? There was the axe, but would Iman cut her down? How did he plan on killing her? Would he kill her quickly? Would he make her suffer? Why wasn't anyone trying to stop him? Perhaps he could yell and get someone's attention. He had to try. Billy tried to move forward slowly instead of rushing forward. Perhaps Iman wouldn't notice if he snuck up on him. Again, Billy was pushed backwards. Iman's voice spoke inside his head. She's nearly done, Billy. As soon as this song is over, your little songbird will die. She will die by your hands.
My hands?
That's right. How befitting that she die with your hands, a kinsman of her from the north, wrapped around her throat, crushing the life out of her. How sweet an ending for her.
Why? Why would you do this?
This? Oh, this is just the beginning.
Why are you making me do this? Using you is just to keep me out of it. Once you're taken away, then I can carry out my plan. A plan far grander than Celine's death.
What? You mean this isn't what you meant to do?
Iman's laugh filled Billy's head. Such a simple task. I could have hired someone to do. Her death will set actions into motion. Nothing you can do at this point will prevent what I have set up. Nothing.
You understand, Billy. You're weak and foolish. You can do nothing to stop this.
The song ended and Iman leapt forward. Celine looked worried at first, but her worry changed to fear and terror as Billy's hands wrapped around her throat. All the while, Billy could hear Iman laughing, his wicked laughter echoing out of Billy's mouth.
No, it couldn't end for her like this. Billy charged forward. Iman held him at bay, but Billy pushed forward again.
The dancers slapped and pawed at Billy's arms and tried to pull Celine away, tears streaming down her face turning redder and redder as hands pushed at her windpipe and choked the life out of her. If he couldn't push his way forward, he'd do what he could from the inside. Billy concentrated on holding his breath and opening his hands. He had to stop Iman. He had to do something. He had to regain control over his body. He had to do it now. His hands must release Celine's delicate throat. He wanted to touch her and hold her. But to see his hands around her throat and the fear in her eyes, fear of him, he had to stop this madness. He had to. Her body weakened, and she started to go slack, but Iman's laughter stopped. Celine fell away from Billy's grasp.
How did you do that? How? How? I have control.
It was Billy's turn to laugh. It didn't matter now. He'd saved Celine. She wasn't going to die. Billy's vision shifted down to her on the stage floor, holding her throat and coughing. He'd done it. He'd saved her life again. Billy looked up. He had control of his body once again. As he looked up, three band members rushed him, and a long brass horn connected with his head.
How? How could that barbarian stop me? How? How? How?
Iman slammed his fists on the control box. Never had he been pushed out. Never! It had felt so good crushing her fine white throat and watching her life leave her body. But Billy had stopped him. Somehow that stupid barbarian had prevented his success. Again Iman slammed his fists onto the control box. It didn't matter. Dead or not, events had been set into motion. Already chaos erupted on the stage, just as he had planned, and he wasn't anywhere near it. City guards held down Billy while a flurry of people surrounded Celine. In a rush, the curtain was put back into place, but the damage had been done. And just as he'd planned, more people flooded nearer the stage. He could hear cries and screams of confusion as people tried to figure out what had happened. Sobs filled the stadium along with shouts of anger. Iman laughed and closed his eyes. The negative energy inside the stadium had increased further than he could have imagined. Refreshing power coursed into his body as people's anguish grew over the confusion of Celine's fate. All this power, and it was only a start. Everyone thought their night would end when Celine's concert began. Little did they know, it had only just begun. The orb in his pocket vibrated. He pulled it out. "This is Iman." His tone cold, calm, relaxed.
"Iman! This spot! What happened? Everyone's scared down here! Where Jack? Where Billy? What happened?"
"Fat. Fat. Fat. Calm down. Everything is just fine. I sent Jack on a mission, and Billy tried to kill Celine, but they stopped him. Get up there and help them arrest Billy, and report back to me."
"Billy what? I don't understand."
"All will become clear, Fat. Just make sure that you keep an eye on Celine. Don't worry about Billy." Iman broke the connection. Fat didn't matter anymore. Billy didn't matter anymore. Even Seth, flying over the stadium, didn't matter anymore. Seth had detected power surges, but he hadn't planned on this much power. No one could have. The black energy of fear and confusion intoxicated Iman. Every cell of his body relaxed and let the power flow in. Normally, he had to work for his power by pulling it up from the earth or out of the sky, but this didn't compare to it at all. The intensity of the energy from this crowd was nearly overwhelming. For a moment, Iman thought he was drunk. There were things to do, though. He stood up and focused himself.
He stretched and looked over the crowd. Several of his, what had Seth called them? Cult, would be opening every available entrance to the stadium. News of Celine's attempted assassination and capture of Billy would spread to the city like wildfire. In no time at all, the entire city would want to be inside or near the stadium. It was filled to capacity now, but that was with the people in their seats. Easily 30,000 or 40,000 more people could squeeze into the stadium, with another 50,000 people outside. It would be the largest gathering of people anywhere in the world. Then, and only then, could he execute his plan. He still had time before everything was right, and in that time he could absorb energy. His mind wandered, and he sensed the doors of the stadium open, and people flood in from off the street, each one oblivious to their fate once they passed inside. He laughed for them. Despite his laughter, he couldn't shake the anger he felt against Billy. Something about Billy had caused him to fail. Simple underestimation? No, that was far too easy an explanation. He'd met with Billy and spoken with him. Billy wasn't bright enough to have a mind so strong as to keep him out. Only the finest wizards in the world could do that. People like himself, or Seth, could do that. Not a lowly barbarian from the north. All those people were renowned for being simpletons. Perhaps it was his constant questioning that had helped him improve his mind beyond his ignorant upbringing. Billy had shown a desire to learn by his questions, and he had a great propensity to ask until he wore a person out. Fat had demonstrated his impatience for Billy. Jack, on the other hand, showed patience with Billy. Why? Did Jack actually like Billy? Fat made no pretense to liking Billy. Perhaps Fat had the right attitude. Iman wanted to be down there, to see what was going on behind the curtain. It bothered him that he couldn't see, but at the same time, his mind wanted to dismiss them all and concentrate on gathering power. If a few people left, that would be no matter. If Billy got away, he'd be able to catch the barbarian at any time. It might give him something to look forward to. Billy couldn't stand up to a direct magical attack, even if he could resist a mental attack. The barbarian meant nothing. Iman just had to keep telling himself that. Nothing. He was only the catalyst to spark the chaos. That's all. He should thank Billy for making it a challenge, and not such a simple task. In that, he was able to appreciate the outcome that much more. Iman interlaced his hands behind his head, and reclined back in his chair, and waited. Billy shook the snow out of his hair. The snowbank he'd fallen into had been much softer and deeper than it looked, and he'd gone in head first. It had taken him nearly 5 minutes just to struggle his way out. "You'll never catch me!" his friend Tommy taunted. He and Tommy had been friends since they shared a crib as babies, while their dads went off to raid a nearby village and left their mothers home alone. They'd been together ever since. Not one day had gone by they didn't see each other and get into some sort of mischief. A shiver ran up Billy's spine, and not from the snow. In fact, the snow wasn't even cold, a fact Billy had to double-check by picking up a handful. It had a sandy texture, but didn't feel cold or warm, almost as if it really wasn't there. Tommy stopped and looked back at Billy. "Come on, Billy, you're supposed to try and catch me!" Tommy wore a simple rope necklace with 3 bear teeth on it. Billy had a matching necklace around his neck. The teeth had come from a bear they'd stumbled upon, and, more by luck than skill, killed. For 2 10-year-olds to kill a full-grown bear had earned them a bit of celebrity in the village. Their fathers, being quite proud of what their sons had done, invited the boys to have their first ale at the village tavern. "What's wrong, Billy?" Tommy's words sounded muddled. He wasn't mumbling, but his voice didn't have the rich sound it used to. "Tommy, why am I here? I was chasing you and pushing you in the snowbank. Now you're supposed to catch me." The path they were on led to the village. In the other direction lay the North River. No one had ever been good at naming anything, so the North River ran down from the north and into Sethopolis. Billy remembered this day. At age 11, he'd told Tommy that he'd one day travel to Sethopolis and see what it was all about. He'd vowed to travel the world and meet all the famous people and return with stories. Tommy had said he'd be right there by his side to share in the adventure. 2 years later, when they were 13 and men ready to go into their first battle, Tommy would die. Billy stood, blinking, and staring at Tommy. He never realized just how much he missed his friend. never realized how hard it had been to lose his one true friend that he'd shared everything with.
Tommy?
Tommy ran toward Billy, but faded before he ever made it to Billy. The trees along the side of the path faded and became walls, walls constructed of logs and packed with mud for a good seal against the cold. A fire burned in a stone fireplace and crackled and popped. Billy sat in a chair made out of branches woven together that his mom had made. The skin of the bear he and Tommy had killed lay on the floor in front of the fireplace.
"Billy, would you like something to eat? You need to keep your strength up."
Billy's mom, Betty Barbarian, wearing her blue dress, apron, and a concerned expression, approached, carrying a large bowl of soup. Not just soup, but beet soup with venison, Billy's favorite.
"Mom?"
"Billy, I'm so sorry about Tommy. These things happen. Here, eat your soup. Everything will be better."
Billy took the soup. He wanted to cry, but barbarians didn't cry. They took their pain and dealt with it. His mother hugged him. Billy put his head in the crook of her neck and cried. He cried for Tommy. He'd never let his friend go. He'd gone to Sethopolis to honor the pact that he'd made with Tommy when they were 11. He'd left on the morning of his 18th birthday and never looked back.
"Billy, aren't you hungry?"
"Mom, why am I here?"
"Why are any of us here, dear? We live, we love, we die. It's all just part of life. Tommy died in battle, and for any of us, that's the best we can hope for. You wouldn't want to end up like Grandpa Albert, would you? Blind and crippled with arthritis and unable to feed yourself?"
"Well, no."
"I'm not telling you to be reckless. Like your father, you need to practice and be the best you can. You'll always find someone stronger than you, or smarter than you. There's nothing you can do to prevent that. All you can do, for you and for Tommy, is to be the best that you can and do the best you can in any situation you find yourself in. If you commit to doing something, you do it the best you're able, both physically and mentally. Think things through and use your mind first."
"But what if there isn't time to think?"
"Then you use your body and keep your wits about you. There's always time to think about a situation."
"What should I do about Iman?"
"I've given you all I can, Billy. You'll have to wake up and deal with him yourself."
"What?"
"Wake up, Billy."
Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian. For more information on this book and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. And again, thank you for listening.